01951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Yes, good evening and welcome to Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The Scottish League season's only just begun, but already it's back to its explosive and controversial best, or should that be worst? Neil Lennon's touchline antics at Ibrox are being investigated by police, as are comments made about the Hibs boss. So were you offended by Lennon's behaviour, or is it understandable given what he had to put up with? Ryan Jack, of course, was sent off with Rangers fans raging. Anthony Stokes didn't join him, and this was one of only six red cards shown in the top flight on Saturday, three of them in one match. Celtic survived a big refereeing call of their own to keep the winning run going ahead of Astana. We'll hear from all the main characters in a dramatic weekend of Scottish football, and you can join us 0141 951 1025. I'm Gordon Duncan, and since it's a Monday, we're joined by Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. Hugh, you had the cheek, the audacity to leave us on Saturday and go to a wedding. And Derek, it was a quiet day. Didn't miss much.
Nothing really. Have we thought you was going to get married, Hugh?
I go away, I come back, and none of you are speaking to each other. What has gone on? But anyway, so far as the game is concerned at Ibrox, the only show in town, so far as this programme is concerned tonight, could we have done without Neil Lennon's overarm gesture? Probably. Is it a police matter? Not in 100 years. This is a colour-coded argument for me, Gordon. If you're in the blue corner, Neil Lennon's guilty, so is Anthony Stokes, and so most certainly is John Beaton, the referee. If you're in the green corner, come on, do me a favour. Neil Lennon takes all the abuse in the world and you're up in arms because he reacts to the scoring of a goal. So it's a very contentious subject. But for me, the treatment of Neil Lennon over this matter is way over the top. Talk of police intervention, never.
Yeah, I go along with that. Police should be never involved. I mean, and I can talk to you, because as you rightly said to me when I came in this evening, you're wanting to talk about having a go at supporters. Yeah. And you're right. Listen, that's happened all the way through the years. Back in the day.
Remind us of that story.
But no, back in the day.
Parts of it you can tell, parts of it you can't.
Whenever we played against Celtic, I was always the one that was singled out by the Celtic fans, got stick. I mean, I took it as a compliment because, you know, I scored plenty of goals against Celtic and they were just trying to put you off by singing about you and everything else. But there's nothing you can do. You're listening to it during the game, but I'll tell you what. See, when you score a goal, that's when you get your own back. And I've done some pretty, a lot worse than Neil Lennon did at the weekend. But that's what happens. I mean, there was no Instagrams and Facebooks or whatever it is in these days, so nobody spoke about it. And it went away on the Monday morning, and that was it finished. I think what Neil has to look out for, it, and he knew he was going to get stick. We said that before it. And I don't mind it. You know, he's just equalised, and he's turned around behind that dugout to the Rangers fans, and he's put two arms up. As if to say, yeah, beauty, we've equalised. Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing whatsoever. He's quite entitled to that. But I think when he makes the inflammatory gesture after it, that is the reason that it's the whole fuss. It's just the excitement of his team equalising. And there's a line, I think, that you cannot cross when you do that. I'm all for turning around and look at the opposition fans and putting the hand up and saying, how do you like that? Because that, if you're getting stick, that's the only way you can get back is by doing that. And Neil turned around and done that. It was the other gesture that he did that'll get him into trouble.
But for me, it's still hypocritical. Supporters gave it to Neil Lennon hot and strong up until the moment Hibs equalised him. And he turns a gesture I fully accept. We could have done without it. Life's hard enough without all of that. But incitement, I don't think so.
Of course, so many big talking points from the game as well. Let's not forget about that. Ryan Jack's red card. We understand Rangers are going to appeal that red card decision. Hugh, the calls on the open line on Saturday went along a similar theme. Many Rangers fans didn't feel Ryan Jack should have been sent off, and many of them felt that Anthony Stokes should have been sent off. So I'm sure we will get to the referee's performance very soon as well. Give us your opinion on the major incidents from the game.
Having watched the Ryan Jack moment dissected by television, yes, he should have gone. Anthony Stokes, how did he stay on? A miracle. He should have gone, I think, for the first challenge on James Tavernier, and certainly for his involvement in the Ryan Jack incident. Dylan McGeoch, red card possible. Graham Dorans, hands round necks, all the rest of it. Very aggressive. He could have gone on another day. John Beaton did not reinvent the wheel on Saturday. He got out of bed, which was his first mistake, and he simply had a shocker of a day. He had a very poor game. It does happen. But I'm not buying petitions about anti-Rangers refereeing. Do me a favour.
Let's hear from some of the main men involved then. Pedro Caixinha now. Remember, the Rangers bench, they weren't happy about Neil Lennon's goal celebrations either. Caixinha also felt Anthony Stokes should have been sent off before Jack, and the Rangers manager says he's just looking for some fairness.
No, I don't feel nothing. I just tell you that it's like a deja vu. And I win it before, I'm going to win it this time again.
Did your assistant coach speak to the police about Neil Lennon?
I don't know. I didn't speak with him after the match. I think nobody needs to speak about the police about nothing. I think it's quite evident what everyone is doing. So there's no need to speak nothing.
What did you think Neil Lennon did wrong in terms of the fourth official?
You didn't saw the match. You didn't saw the attitude. So you may write it. If you have a character, you may write it. If you saw it, write it. So don't ask me to tell it. And after you write it, you say that I say it. So do it.
So do you feel he clearly influenced the officials?
No, it's not about that. I think it's not about that influence. I'm not talking about influence. I'm talking about having the same treatment. Okay? Having the same treatment. That's all. That's all I think.
The chosen that can compete. Look, I've got players here like Whittaker, Ambrose, Stokes, who have been over the course and distance before. I've got good footballers like McGinn, McGeoch. I've got a good goalkeeper, Paul Hanlon. You know, right through the team, you know, I felt athletically we're good and we're strong. And we've got some good footballers, so we can mix it and play. And they've shown that today. Yes, we were numerically advantaged, but we made the most of that because sometimes it's not easy. And like I said, my only criticism is we didn't win the game by more.
Didn't hide your emotions after the equaliser. Rangers fans, obviously furious, felt you went over the top. How did you feel?
Well, I'm celebrating the goal, so what way are you supposed to celebrate a goal? If I pick my nose, somebody will find something to criticise it for. So, you know, I'm celebrating the goal. That's the end of it.
How did you find the atmosphere experience?
It's brilliant.
Compared to coming in
second? It was as good as I've experienced before. You know, they were well up for it. And the first 15 minutes were very frantic for us, and it's difficult to pass any instructions out there, so you have to trust the players. You know, and it took us a real, you know, it took them 5, 10, 15 minutes to adjust to the way that we wanted them to play. But once they did that, they were fine. And once they got the goal, then you could see the belief and the confidence growing in them. And look, we're a tiny horse in this league. We'll give people a bloody lows. That's the first one.
You asked me on Friday night, Gordon, what kind of reception do you think Neil Lennon will get tomorrow? And I said to you on the programme, utterly hostile. And it was utterly hostile. Now, as I say, life's hard enough, and we could have done without Neil's overarm gesture. But it's a gesture that supporters and other people involved make every week. Graham Dorn's made the same gesture to the Motherwell fans the previous weekend. Police involvement? No, not from me. As for Pedro Caixinha, he's, I think, attempting to create a kind of siege mentality within Ibrox now. He's speaking about asking for the same treatment for both sides. He's also, over the weekend, spoken about his being outside of a union. He feels as if he's outside of a union of British managers. Well, that's not the case. Foreign players and managers are warmly embraced by Scottish football. If you ask Rangers supporters who they think the best player the club ever had, they might pick a Dane, Brian Laudrup. If you ask the Celtic supporters the best player they ever had, they might pick a Swede, Henrik Larsson. So there is no problem with foreign personalities in our game.
Now, I know a lot of you are going to want to have your say. 0141 951 1025. And that's exactly the number Graham in Airdrie has dialed. You're a Rangers fan. Graham, what have you got to say?
I just think it's a wee bit over the top. Just basically, Neil Lennon, he takes some amount of abuse after Rangers supporters, and then the minute he does something back, I just think it's over the top. I just think he should just, you know what I mean? He's only celebrating goals. The abuse he takes after Rangers fans is unreal, if you know what I mean.
I said on Friday night, Graham, that It all goes back to one thing. Derek Johnson's a former Rangers player. If Derek ever poked his head out the tunnel at Celtic Park, he'd get dog's abuse from some supporters, from the more excitable element, because he's Derek Johnson of Rangers. Uh-huh. Neil Lennon is the same. He's the Celtic player, Celtic manager, and for that reason, every time he goes near Ibrox, that's the kind of treatment that he receives. So you're right, it is over the top, and to talk about, you know, he's unable to... I'm going back to this statement from Club 1872, that the restraint of the Rangers supporters is commended by them. Well, does that include the guy who threw a cigarette lighter at Neil Lennon? You know, and he seems completely unable to control himself at Ibrox, according to the statement. Well, lots of people find it hard to control themselves. There was very little restraint, so far as I could see, being shown on the park or off it. It was a very, very aggressive afternoon.
Yeah, Graham, so being a Rangers fan, you have no real problem with Neil Lennon's antics, because this is quite interesting. Quite often these things are drawn along club lines, you know, it's a very partisan issue. But I've noticed quite a few Rangers fans on social media saying that they understand Neil Lennon's reaction because of the stuff that he has to put up with.
I understand, but that's what I'm phoning up about, because it's the abuse that he has to take, and then the minute he does something back, the Rangers fans are like, oh, we can't take it. No, I just feel as if you should be able to take it. There's a rivalry there, and that's it. There's a rivalry between Neil Lennon and Rangers fans, but all this carry on with police and all that, just because he raised his arm and cooping his ears. They're going to grow up if you ask me.
It'll be interesting to see, Derek, because... you know, the police thing's one matter. We can't really speak on behalf of that. We don't know how that's going to play out. But in a football sense, that gesture that we spoke of, that everyone knows what gesture we're talking about. We have seen players get in trouble for that gesture before. Sure. The ones that spring to mind, I think, was it Michael Higden was the first one?
Yeah.
I think it was a game at Tannadice. Andy Halliday was the one similar. Yeah. It was at Morton. So in a football sense, the football authorities may look at it. But does that... that is a separate issue
I'll ask you a question. When a player scores a goal and he runs behind the goal at the opposition fans and he puts his hand in the air and gives it all that,
he sometimes gets a booking.
Yeah, he gets booked, and that's what happens. So they've got to watch, players and management have got to watch what they do. Yes, they take an awful lot of sticks, some more than others, I grant you that. And the only way you can get it back is to say, if you win the game or you put the ball in the back of the net, if it's a player and you're delighted, you put your hand. I just used to put my hand up and give him a wave and say, yeah, that's me, this is the man you're shouting about. And you got away with that most of the time. But there are times when it's a big game and you do that, you just get carried away with yourself. And I think Neil just went a wee bit over the top. I don't mind the cup in the ears, you're quite right, I don't hear you now, we've just equalised, hands in the air, we've scored, not a problem whatsoever. It was the other gesture, I think, that has got to most people.
Well, perhaps the SFA, the compliance officer, will look for action, but does that merit a ban for Neil Lennon? I don't think so. I know he's got a 2-game ban hanging over his head from the spat with Jim Duffy, but I come back to it. For me, supporters are hypocritical. They would reserve the right to make any gesture possible at Neil Lennon or anybody else that they didn't fancy. But as Graham, the caller, has acknowledged, as soon as somebody gestures towards them, they run in every direction looking for policemen.
So Graham's our first Rangers fan who actually doesn't have too much of a problem with what Neil Lennon was up to at the weekend. What about Karen in Clydebank? What have you got to say?
Hiya.
Hello.
I would just like to say... my son played football for a number of years and I used to go to every game, and I get a bit heated with it all the time, but I used to think that, like, sometimes if they'd done a bit, something really bad in the park, like, at one point one of the boys in the team actually done the same gesture as Neil Lennon against their rivals in the area, and that boy gets sent off by a referee. Now the referee was obviously younger and whatever, and further down the ranks than the refs that are doing the big games like Saturdays. But I just think if they're going to have rules for kids, especially under 17s, now they're grown into men at that point, then they should be showing them the same example in a game like that on Saturday. I mean, if a manager's allowed to stand at the side of the park and make that gesture, and I, by all means, he can celebrate, I'm not saying that, but I just think he's taunting people by doing things like that. And the boy in our team taunted fans standing at the side of a park in the local area. So guys are going to react to that. So women as well, by the way. So I think that if young referees are going to send young boys off in games, in the youth games in the areas, because they're the boys that are coming up and obviously are going to end up playing professional football later on, then I think they should be starting from the get-go. I don't think they should allow it in big games if they're not going to allow it in young games.
With respect, your boy is playing in front of no one.
And I understand that.
Neil Lennon has tens of thousands of people giving him a very hard time.
Yeah, I understand. And he got a bit of abuse, which is just normal.
He's human. And when his team scored, he made his satisfaction well known to the Rangers supporters. For this to be considered a police matter, I think is laughable.
I don't agree with that either. I don't think it's a police matter, but I think if they're going to teach your referees to teach boys during the game, through school, this is obviously guys that have... There's maybe sometimes school teachers as well and have went on and done refereeing badges and whatever. If they're going to teach them the rules at that stage and then allow them to stand and watch their own team that they've grew up with, for a manager that's actually controlling that club to stand there and do that, then that's pointless to me.
Perhaps another way of wording Karen's argument, Hugh, if you are saying that it's wrong for the Rangers fans to give that abuse, is it not also wrong then for Neil Lennon to react
exactly
that way, and it's two wrongs not making a right?
Exactly.
As I say, could we have done without it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Life's hard enough.
See, if you just done the noise thing, the ear thing,
at the same time, the reaction to his gesture has been over-exaggerated.
Well, believe it or not, there was 90 minutes of football going on at Ibrox as well. We're going to hear from both managers on that. Let's hear what you had to say. 01419511025. That's all after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan, Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here as well. So many of you trying to get through on the phone lines, 01419511025. We'll get back to them very shortly. But Derek, this is a football show. We like to try and talk about football every now and then. And we built Saturday's game up to be a significant day in the football calendar here. Hibs back in the top flight, Rangers with a new look team. Who would win? What would we learn? So if you can take all the madness aside for 1 second, what did we learn in a football context?
Well, I said on Saturday before the game, I said Hibs are a good side. I looked at their squad, and we've said it a few times, you know, you look at their bench and it's a really, really solid bench that they've got. I said this is a team that are on form just now. You know, they're an Ayr United side that were beating everybody, even beat Kilmarnock, went to Easter Road, and Hibs absolutely battered them. You know, they're a team in form, they've got pace, they've got strength. And I said that was the warning to Rangers. This was the biggest test for Rangers on Saturday. And if they didn't play well, then they could really be punished. And Rangers, to be fair, got off to a great start. They got the early goal. They might have had three goals before Hibs had a shot. The Kenny Miller one, it was deflected off him and it just went wide of the post. Bit lucky. But the second one, when he hits the post, he should do better. So Rangers, in that big word, could have been goals ahead, but they weren't. And after that, Hibs got a grip of themselves. I'm in no doubt whatsoever that the sending off turned the game when you go a man down in a game like that, because Hibs then were able to knock the ball around and Rangers were chasing a bit. And in the end, you know, Hibs thoroughly deserved to win the game because they were the better side.
Hugh, what about that in a football context then? Because this is something I've seen argued many times over the weekend. Would we be having this discussion about Neil Lennon and about John Beaton to the same extent if Rangers had won the game?
No. I believe we're dealing with the depth of disappointment over Rangers' performance and the result, because following the 6-0 defeat of Dunfermline in the Betfred Cup, there was a surge of optimism. That result coming after the win over Motherwell in the first league game of the season, there was a surge of optimism among the Rangers supporters. I said to you on Friday, the match would not be season defining, but it would be a good indicator. It's been a terrific indicator for Hibs. For Rangers, it's an indication that they need to do better. And the Hearts game for Pedro Caixinha on Saturday is a big one, because he needs a performance and a result.
You know, I would slightly disagree with that, Gordon, you know, because I think the referees had such a poor game. Even if Rangers won, I think the talking points would have still been the sending offs and everything else. That would have been mentioned. It wouldn't have been a case of, well, Rangers won the game, it was a hard fought game, but they've got 3 points, now we'll carry on. I think the referee just had a poor game with bad decisions, and I still think we would have been talking about that.
You say bad decision, what were his bad decisions?
Well,
then
Well, getting the wrong decision. I mean, people are saying, oh, he's biased and all this. What a load of utter nonsense. He's just made bad decisions. I feel
what one specifically?
Well,
because
I think the sending offs. I think when you look at in the first few minutes when Anthony Stokes grabs Tavernier by the neck and throws him to the ground.
You think that was a straight red
I think that's a red card. I mean, how in it can you manhandle? Well, you look at Ronaldo push the referee 2 inches and get a 5-game ban. You know that's the things that happen.
The referee tends to be treated quite seriously.
It does, but there's no difference when a man's in front of you and he hasn't done anything. All he's done is blocked away. He's got the arm around his neck and wrestles him to the ground, throws him to the ground. Is that not a red card?
But just to touch on that point about, you know, if this red card happens, then nothing else happens, and Rangers' chances improve. When Ronaldo, as Derek mentioned, got sent off, it was 2-1 for Real against Barcelona. Finished up 3-1.
James in Drumchapel is next on the line. James, what's on your mind?
It's just basically to obviously talk about Mr. Lennon. Mm-hmm. This isn't the first time that he's obviously done something at Ibrox. If you cast your mind back to when he actually played in an AMA game, he spat in a Rangers scarf as well. Is that all right, Hugh? Do you know what I mean? Andy Halliday as well celebrated a goal last year against Morton, I believe it was, and put his hand up there and gestured towards the Morton fans. He gets a 2-game ban because he could have incited a riot. Now, to go on about the abuse at Lennon, go to the game. Were you at the game, Hugh?
No.
Because Stephen Whittaker got more abuse than what Neil Lennon did on Saturday.
So what?
What I will say to you then, Hugh, is see if Hibs scored against Celtic, will he celebrate like that against Celtic?
Well, I mean,
I don't think so, Hugh. I just think it is.
Yeah, I think he will.
Out of order. Behave yourself.
Well,
behave yourself, Hugh.
I don't need any lectures on how to behave myself, thank you. Well, don't be insulting then.
I'm not insulting you. I'm just telling you to behave yourself.
If Hibs score against Celtic, I have absolutely no doubt that Neil Lennon will celebrate because he's the Hibs manager.
He won't celebrate to the same extent, though, Hugh, surely.
Well, he won't have...
Will they tell the Celtic supporters to get it up?
He won't have tens of thousands of Celtic supporters giving him verbal abuse. They will be respectful where Neil Lennon is concerned. I do appreciate there's a difference between Neil Lennon playing against Celtic and playing against Rangers in terms of the reception he gets from supporters. But Neil Lennon is a professional football man, and if Hibs score against Celtic, he'll celebrate. Don't worry about that.
But it's not going to be the same, but that surely is as a result of what goes on in the stands, James.
But what I'm saying is...
You wouldn't expect...
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
He's a professional, okay? So I'll tell you something right now. I'm a coach, okay? Obviously, not at the level of his, okay? I did a coaching at the 2006 level. And trust me, if I turned around and celebrated like him, I would be up in front of the SYFA. My bum wouldn't hit the flare.
As I said to you...
That's what I'm saying to you. At whatever level, I just think that the man... I think he's a crackpot.
Well we could just forget about that there.
You're going to have to move that one on, James. Can't allow you to really come on and...
He actually makes a very good point when Andy Halliday, because that was caught on television as well, making the gesture, and he got a 2-game ban.
But that's what I said earlier, Hugh, didn't I? I said in a football terms, it might well be the case that people, the football authorities, aren't too happy with that gesture because we've seen it in the past. But that's a different issue from the police investigation or anything else.
I don't doubt that the SFA may very well have words with Neil Lennon, may punish Neil Lennon for that gesture. I repeat yet again. Could we have done without it? Of course we could. And does he, with the benefit of hindsight, wish he hadn't done it? Perhaps. But is it a matter for the police? No. And incidentally, if that's the quality of the coaching of young boys that's going about referring to people by that word, then we have to be careful.
Yeah, apologies if anyone was a bit upset by James's use of language there. Maka is next up. Maka, you'll be one of the happiest men on the phone in tonight, surely.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I'm coming on to stick up for Neil Lennon as well. I'm not sticking up for the gesture. However, the abuse that Neil Lennon, Hibs fans as well, received on a basis of when we play Rangers at Ibrox, and I was at the match before anyone says I was there, is a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. So if we're going to complain about anything, why don't we complain about the 40,000 people that sing sectarian songs and foot hell abuse at Hibs, and you're right.
Well, listen, Mackie, what about when Rangers travel to Easter Road and the majority of the crowd are Hibs fans? What happens then?
Well, there's not any sectarian singing. There's not six. There's not. You know. There's not. There's not.
There's abuse. There's abuse from Hibs fans towards it. That's just the way it is. That's rivalry, and it always has been. It always has been.
Well, it doesn't make it right, does it?
But it's there.
We've entered
the world that we live in. It doesn't make it right.
Yeah. No one's suggesting it's right. But it's just a fact of life that in this part of the world, for the Rangers supporters, Neil Lennon is a hate figure. And he's had to put up with that since 2000 when he signed for Martin O'Neill as a Celtic player. It's deeply regrettable. It's a shame that we've been on air for half an hour now and we haven't discussed the quality of Hibs' performance, Macca.
Well, that was what I wanted to come to. Sorry, Ed.
On you go.
I just wanted to say that, obviously, I know Rangers were disappointing and Derek was right, you know, they did start well and they got a goal. But Hibs, for the second week in a row, have showed bottle and determination and come back from 1-0 down. And I think that has to be applauded because when you're playing somewhere like Ibrox or Celtic Park, if you lose an early goal, your heads can drop. And Hibs' heads, albeit with the sending off, did help, of course. But the heads didn't drop and they came back and they won comfortably in the end, really, when you think about it.
Marky, I thought you'd have been absolutely delighted this weekend with Sunderland winning as well at Norwich.
I was at both games.
Well done to you.
I've seen Sunderland's first two games of the season, and I've seen Hibs' first three, and obviously both teams haven't lost yet. So that's quite.
You're a happy man,
I am.
Marky, let me ask you this, because both managers were reluctant to take anything from this game in the sense that about it laying down a marker or influencing how the rest of the decision goes. But I'm wondering, as a Hibs fan, has it changed your optimism level about where you can finish this season, coming through a big test like that one?
I said we'd finish second. I put money on we'll finishing second. But every win you get over Rangers and Celtic would be a bonus. Mm. But I'm looking forward to hearing the Rangers fans coming on. You know, I referred to Charlie and Airdrie come on last week saying, "Ah, we've gelled now. It's, you know, we're gonna. I think it'll be comfortable. We're gonna win by three or four clear goals." So I'm looking forward to hearing them all this week, and I want everyone to eat their words because Hibs didn't just come to Ibrox and won. They went to Ibrox and they won comfortably. But great. I wish we could win. I wish we would stop winning 3-2. I get sick of that.
It's becoming a bit of a habit, isn't it, Macca?
It is, isn't it?
Right, good man. You take care.
No.
Enjoy your night, Macca. I'm sure you will. Hugh, what about that then? Because what we did notice in open line on Saturday was that actually many Rangers fans came on and were actually angry about the team, about the players, about the manager, about the tactics. So the last couple of days might lead you to think that it's all about the referee, it's all about Neil Lennon, but somewhere out there are Rangers fans who were annoyed at the performance.
Yeah, of course. And they look at Pedro Caixinha and his ability to change the course of a match, you know, if things go against his side. And at the moment there's a question mark against him for that reason. That's why I say Saturday against Hearts is a big game for him. The Rangers fans need to have their confidence in Pedro Caixinha restored.
I think you're a wee bit harsh on the manager, Hugh, because he did change it at half time. He went to a back three and played two up. You know, he did change it. He wanted to have a go at Hibs and it didn't work for him. Sometimes these things happen and everybody said, "Oh, the manager, what wonderful bit of stuff he did in the second half, they're changing it around." But he did change it. It wasn't like Mark Warburton who changed it after an hour and it was the same player for the same player. You know, he did change the tactics and he changed personnel. So he has said in the past that he will change it to suit how the team are playing at the time. And I think he did change it on Saturday.
Alec and Gorthamlock is next up. Alec, what's your point?
How you doing, lad?
Yes, good, thank you.
That boy there talking about Macca, talking about Hibs skate. They won 3-2. I'm a Celtic fan. They won 3-2 against 10 men. They'll no finish second. Kelty, you need to wake yourself up, that boy.
Okay. But, I'll let him know.
Come on. I'm a Celtic fan. We scraped a 1-0 and they should have had a penalty official, but they never got it. So 3 points have won the game. That's all I care about. See, the first game, I like to go back to Motherwell against Rangers, first game of the season. Boy Lee Wallace goes to take a shine. He's got whacked with a bar for Motherwell. That wee group of fans, they're singing, giving him abuse. The police, the stewards are stalling. Nobody says a word to him. Celtic and Rangers, they go away to Aberdeen. They go to Hearts, the players, Griffiths. I could name them. They got all sorts of abuse. So see if you react when you score a goal and put their horn to their ear. It's a big deal. Lennon's probably taking abuse. They shouldn't have done the one-handed gesture maybe, but you know what I mean? I'm for East End. I'm a taxi driver. If you take it, if you give abuse out, you need to take it back. Is that not how we work with?
Yeah, of course. You know, Derek has retold the story of his days as a Rangers player, taking dogs abuse at Celtic Park and getting his own back when he scored against Celtic. That's the nature of football. But today, as Neil Lennon said earlier on, you can't pick your nose, but somebody wants to make something of it. And we could have done without the overarm gesture, which may or may not get Neil Lennon back into bother. But fans, as you've rightly pointed out and catalogued all of the places where it happens, fans are hypocritical because they abuse players, they throw things at players, as yep. well as throwing insults and other forms of abuse. But as soon as something happens, they're up in arms and they're outraged.
Do you see a few seasons back, I remember when Gordon Strachan was Celtic's manager at Aberdeen, getting all sorts of dogs abuse after fans. And as soon as you go to see something, or they better bring the police in, they're moaning about stuff. But truly, we can't expect to get it out. They're big boys. If you're getting it out, you need to take it back. See a few years back, I remember watching Bobby Rushton, David Cooper and Kelly Park, the old jungle, and we were giving David Cooper an absolutely terrible, stinking. I was only a young boy at the time. How did they ram it back down my throat? Scored the winner, 2-1 they won.
Yeah.
That's how you get it back, you know. But yeah. I must admit, when you go and watch Hearts, Motherwell and Aberdeen and Celtic Rangers go to their grounds, they're just so critical, so that's what you're talking. But I suppose maybe that's part and parcel.
It's just a...
I think you can't take that abuse. And you're going to react somewhere.
You're talking about Gordon Strachan at Pittodrie. It's 10 years ago at the weekend there that Gordon was sent to the stand because a steward came down and had a bit of verbals with him. So, you know, everybody gets in the act, even club stewards who are supposed to be there to look after safety.
Was it not last season or the season before Hugh at Pittodrie that Mark McGee gets sent to the stand and was getting pelters from the Aberdeen fans?
Yeah.
Last season, you know, and the man was an absolute hero.
Yeah,
we have
one of the heroes of Gothenburg.
iPhone incident.
Yeah.
Get that.
Yeah.
I think we move that one on. Right, listen to this. We've got plenty more coming up, but we have got something very special lined up for you all next week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's your chance to win an Old Firm golden ticket courtesy of Ladbrokes. So that's one Celtic winner and one Rangers winner will get a pair of tickets to both home games and both away games. So a chance for you to win what will be a season pass to every Ladbrokes Premiership meeting between the big rivals. All you need to do is register online at Clyde1.com for your chance to win all next week.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here as well. As you can imagine, so many people trying to get in touch and talk about events at Ibrox at the weekend. Derek, just let's clear something up because a lot of people are getting in touch on Twitter. They're not happy with you, to say the least. Someone came on, one of the callers, the name escapes me, mentioned the phrase sectarian singing. You were talking about when teams go to Easter Road, etc. And I think the phrase you said was that that's the way it is. You were meaning
that. I was meant to give an abuse to each
rivalry.
Other. Oh, yeah, that's what I spoke about. My question was, you know, when Rangers or Celtic go to Easter Road, you know, they're getting abuse from Hibs fans. You know, they sing their various songs. I say that's just how it is.
But we understand that some songs are not okay.
Yeah, No, I'm not talking about sectarian songs. I'm just talking about giving abuse to other supporters.
There we are. Hopefully that clears that one up for you. I won't hold my breath, though. Stephen in Whitburn is a Celtic fan. What's on your mind, Stephen?
Good evening, guys. Happy new season to you all.
Yes, happy new season. It's great to be back.
It is too, Stephen.
Now, Gordon, you were saying earlier on about you were half an hour into the show, or it might even have been you saying half an hour into the show when we spoke about the football. But what my take on it is the lead-up to the game at Ibrox between Hibs and Rangers, Rangers and Hibs, was a lot of the focus was on Neil Lennon going back to Ibrox. You know, he was interviewed about it, he was asked questions, when was the last time you were at Ibrox? It was in 2012, you know, when such and such. So I think a lot of the it seemed to be geared towards, it's going to be powder keg, and it's going to be how Neil Lennon reacts to going back to Ibrox. And that was the way, this is just my opinion, that's the way a lot of the talk wasn't about what team you're going to pick, what formation you're going to pick, Neil, or what team you're going to pick, Pedro. You know, it was all about Neil Lennon's going back to Ibrox. What's he going to be like?
Stephen,
he was set up. No, let me.
Yeah, carry on.
He set up a little bit that way that didn't matter, you know, that he was going, he was walking into Ibrox. And now what I was trying to say is, now there was a game of football happening at the weekend,
mm-hmm.
and all the pictures that you can see when Hibs equalise, this just proves the point to me that the media were focused more on what Neil Lennon's reactions were going to be if Rangers scored or if Hibs scored or if there was a moment in the game where something didn't go right for Hibs or didn't go right for Rangers. A lot of the pictures shows to me that a lot of the photographers, a lot of the media, a lot of the journalists, a lot of the media were more focused on how Neil Lennon and how the dugout areas were going to be reacting to certain things happening in the game. Yeah, and actually the game was like second fiddle to it all.
Stephen, can I just ask you, do you not think that that's one of these unavoidable facts of footballing life? You always look for a subplot. Have you ever seen Jose Mourinho?
Yeah.
When Jose Mourinho goes back to Stamford Bridge, trust me, the cameras will be trained on him. So there's nothing sinister at work here. Sometimes certain fixtures
just take on
an extra significance. Yeah. Like I said, have you ever seen Jose Mourinho going back to play Chelsea? It's the exact same thing.
When Neil Lennon was asked about his return to Ibrox, he said, love it, it's theatre,
mm-hmm.
which is what football is, it's about theatre. That's what Neil Lennon said. There was no attempt to stir up trouble. Neil Lennon and Ibrox Stadium are indivisible for a variety of reasons, because of games he played there as a Celtic player, when Martin O'Neill took him to the Celtic end of the ground at the end of an Old Firm match, when Neil was a Celtic manager and he came off with his hands cupped behind his ears, which infuriated the Rangers mm-hmm. supporters. So Neil Lennon and Ibrox Stadium are indivisible and have been for the last 17 years. So there was no attempt to stir up trouble. It was simply, if you like, a nostalgic look back at Neil's greatest hits at Ibrox. And he responded, when you see photographs, that's the mm-hmm. newspapers and the photographers responding to what is the story of the day. And the story of the day was the reaction to, or one of, I'll correct myself, one of the stories of the day was Neil Lennon's reaction when Hibs equalised. So whatever happened, you can't pin this on the media. The referee had a shocker. Neil Lennon has had a spat with the Rangers supporters. One player has gone off. More could have gone off. Hibs mm-hmm. played exceptionally well. You can't pin this on the media.
Stephen, do you believe that the media did stir up enough, you know, for all the mayhem to go on the way?
Well, I don't know if it's getting lost in translation. A lot of things have got to happen for Neil Lennon to be in the position where he's cupping his hands and sure. whatever he's doing to the fans, right? There's a lot of things. But I think there was a lot of things that were put in place by certain media, certain journalists. You know, it's Scottish football is not the greatest. We all know it's not the greatest in the world. We've got to rely on, you know,
Can you tell me what you mean by certain things were put in place?
Well, what does it matter if Neil Lennon had played for Celtic? He was going to Ibrox as the Hibs manager. That's naivety on your part.
No, but why
would the journalist say, when was the last time you were at Ibrox? Perfectly knowing when the last time he was at Ibrox was probably when he was the manager of Celtic. Why would they ask that question? What has that got to do with an upcoming fixture between 11 Hibs players and 11 Rangers players?
Stephen, you genuinely think that a former Celtic player and former Celtic manager is not going to be asked any particular questions about going back to the home of their biggest rivals?
No, you're totally missing the point. Yeah. What I'm saying is the media, it's just my opinion. I'm only just saying my opinion because the whole show tonight has only been about what happened with Neil Lennon, and this is playing into the media's hands. This is what they want. This is... In a sad, sorry way, this is good for Scottish football because it puts our game in a higher, you know, because there's a bit of controversy, you know what I mean? Because the quality of football in Scotland's not great. So we need the controversial characters like Neil Lennon. I mean, Pedro Kishina comes out and says a couple of crazy things after it, and nobody spoke about that, about, you know, what he said in an interview, you know, how he described the Rangers football club. I'm not even going to say the words what he said, but we all, I mean, the videos are out there.
I've already spoken tonight about Pedro Kishina apparently so, trying. I mean, hold on a second. Yeah. I've spoken about Pedro Caixinha apparently creating a kind of siege mentality.
Yes.
Where he goes on about he's an outsider and perhaps he's not getting the same crack of the whip as those who were born in this country, or like Neil Lennon and Brendan Rodgers and Tommy Wright and Stephen Robinson, all come from Northern Ireland. He feels that perhaps he's an outsider because he's Portuguese. So I've already addressed that. You may have missed that earlier on. But you're desperately trying to pin this on the media, and the media were not responsible.
No. Dad never said they were responsible. The cards were set in a way. Now, let me just ask a question then. Let me just ask you a question. If none of this had happened at the weekend and it was a boring 0-0 draw, to be honest with you, I bet you tonight, on your way into the studios tonight, yourself and Derek and Gordon, we're probably licking their lips going, it's going to be a feisty night tonight. We're going to have lots of calls. This is what your show's all about.
Again, you're a great man for supposition.
We're dealing.
We've got 2 hours. 2 hours of radio. And that's the big story of the weekend. All of the controversies surrounding Rangers' match against Hibs on and off the park. So,
but it's not. That's what your show's all about,
yeah,
is it not?
Well,
you can't turn around and say that I'm making an assumption on something because it's clearly evident.
You did because you're saying if it had been 0-0, we're not dealing in hypothesis. We're dealing in what actually happened, and now we are responding to what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And what happened was clearly set up. That Neil Lennon, if he'd done anything, was going to be caught because
who set it up?
No, because who put the cameras on? I know you're Gordon saying,
know,
you know,
come
Joe
on, Stephen. If you think the cameras are not going to be on Neil Lennon, I just don't understand.
How many cameras does Sky send up to Scotland?
I have no idea.
It's not the same amount of cameras that they do for an EPL match.
No, it's not. Probably
it's
not.
It's not even a quarter of what they set up for an EPL match.
So in your or to your way of thinking, all of this.
No, it's not just my way of thinking. It's quite plain to see that we built this. The media built up this game.
It's not plain to see for me.
A lot of things have to fall into place
it's
for it to happen that way.
It's not plain for me to see. You're suggesting that this is a media concoction, so that by the time Neil Lennon got to Ibrox, people would be at fever pitch. That's simply not the case. We went over, or the press went over Neil Lennon and his return to Ibrox, and he responded by talking about the theatre behind it all. That was not Neil Lennon saying, "Oh, I can't wait to get there so I can annoy Rangers supporters."
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now it's a couple of minutes before 7 o'clock, and that means it's time for you to call if you want to play Beat the Pundit. I know a lot of you are trying to get through to make your point about the football and all the rest of it, but if you want to play Beat the Pundit and take on Hugh Keevans or Derek Johnson, now is your time to call 0141 951 1025. That's coming up after your news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.
Monday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here as well. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers very shortly on what is a massive week ahead for Celtic. But first and foremost, it's time to do this.
Beat the Pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
The pundits have largely had it all their own way since the start of the season. Scott Mackay is a Rangers fan in Greenock. Fancy your chances of changing that, Scott?
I'll do my bit.
Do your best, that's all you can do. You're a Rangers fan. Does that mean you would prefer to take on DJ or prefer to avoid him?
In at all.
I like that. Confidence.
Right, why don't we do the coin toss, shall we? Hugh Keevans is heads, Derek Johnson is tails. And it is a tails. So you're going to face Derek Johnson. Okay, let's see if we can make Derek Johnson
disappear.
Hear something else. Can you still hear me? No, he's dancing away. That's fine. That means he's gone. Good stuff, Scott. Right, okay. You know the way this works, Scott. You've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can. You can pass. So just try and rattle through them, all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good luck to you. And your time starts now. Which former Celtic captain retired to take up a coaching role at Motherwell?
Pass.
Hearts defender Liam Smith has moved to which Scottish Championship side on loan?
Sidmouth.
How many teams are currently on 0 points in the Scottish Premiership?
Pass.
Which Real Madrid player has been banned for 5 matches for pushing a referee? Which Scottish Championship sides announced they've extended the contract of their manager? A Bridie is the mascot of which Scottish football team? How many players did Motherwell finish with in their match against St Johnstone on Saturday?
9.
Okay, let's bring Derek Johnson back, shall we? His dancing is absolutely horrendous. Back with us, Derek. He is.
Club Tropicana. It's
that was
free...
dad dancing if ever I saw it. You ready, Derek?
Well, I'm a dad.
You ready?
I'm a granddad.
Ready to go?
Hold on, just let's get my...
Getting your thought together, game face on.
Right, here we go.
That's plenty. Which former Celtic captain retired to take up a youth coaching role at Motherwell? Hearts defender Liam Smith has moved to which Scottish Championship side on loan?
Dumbarton.
How many teams are currently on 0 points in the Scottish Premiership?
4.
Which Real Madrid player has been banned for 5 matches
Ronaldo.
After pushing? Which Scottish Championship sides announced they've extended the contract of their
Martin.
Manager? A Bridie is the mascot of which Scottish football team?
4.
And how many players did Motherwell finish with in their
8.
Match against St Johnstone on Saturday? Silversmiths George Edward and Sons were the creators behind which of Scottish football's trophies?
It was the FA Cup.
Quick. Okay. Right. Let's go through these very quickly. Which former Celtic captains retired to take up a youth coaching role at Motherwell? At Stephen McManus. DJ goes one up. Hearts defender Liam Smith has moved to which Scottish Championship side on loan? At St Mirren. It's one each. You pulled a level there, Scott. Well done. How many teams currently on 0 points? It's 4. Kilmarnock, Partick, Motherwell and Dundee. So Derek, 2-1 up. You both got this one right. Quite an easy one. Ronaldo has been banned for 5 games for pushing the referee. So Derek still 1 to the good at the moment. Which Scottish Championship sides announced they've extended the contract of the manager? It's Jim Duffy. So you are still 1 up. Derek, both of you got that one right. A Bridie is the mascot of which Scottish football team? You both get that right. So Derek's still 1 up. And how many players did Motherwell finish with in their match against St Johnstone? It was 8. So Derek got that one right. Puts it beyond doubt. And for anyone who is listening and cares about the last question, Silversmith, George Edward and Sons were the creators behind the Scottish Cup. So Derek got 1.
Is that no the FA Cup, is it?
Well, I give you, you won anyway. Listen, let's not split hairs.
Oh,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah,
not?
I suppose you are.
Thank
right.
You.
But anyway, you won anyway. I think it was a 6-4, certainly. At least a 6-4.
Good effort,
though, Scott. Thanks for taking
well
part.
Done, Scott.
No problem. Cheers, well done.
Good man. There we are. Easy as that. 01419511025 if you want to play Beat the Pundit at the same time tomorrow night. Let's talk a little about Brendan Rodgers, Hugh Keevans, because we've had a lot of discussion on this programme recently about Celtic's need for a striker, or perhaps their lack of need for a striker, depending what we heard from Brendan Rodgers in previous weeks. So I suppose time is now running out to add any new players for the Champions League tie against Astana. The registration deadline, I think it's 11 o'clock tonight, then 11 o'clock tomorrow for a wild card ahead of that tie on Wednesday. Lee Griffiths, remember, started Friday night's win at Partick Thistle on the bench, and overall that was a concern for Brendan Rodgers.
We wondered if we'd get 90 minutes, but his calf was played up again. So and that's always the danger sign when he obviously played. Our plan was really to get him 60 minutes against Hearts, 60 to 70 against Kilmarnock, and then try and get him through upward towards 90 tonight in preparation for Astana. But after the Kilmarnock game, he felt tightness in his calf on the Wednesday. So it was always a sign you've got to be careful with that. So we then looked at it and assessed it and thought, well, it's maybe too big a risk, you know, to play him. So, but he felt fine this morning, so he got his half hour and worked his fitness.
With him still struggling a little bit and obviously being set out, is that a position you're now looking at?
I think I will definitely have to look at it a lot closer. Now, my vision on this is having two strikers available and fit and pushing each other. But if there's a non-availability and it's consistent, then of course I need to seriously look at that, because the guys are doing great for us. You know, you think of the campaign that we've come through so far, you know, we're not conceding anymore, we're playing very well. Like, so James playing in there, he's doing great. You know, at times Tom's played up in there, done brilliant for us. But really the dynamic of the team is obviously better when you have a number nine that can actually play.
Celtic have tremendous strength and depth, Gordon. as was illustrated last Tuesday when a side containing five players of 20 and under took Kilmarnock apart in the Betfred Cup, won 5-0 at Celtic Park. However, coincidentally, they've arrived at this massive match with its £25 million side stake, with limited choice in key areas. You heard Brendan Rodgers there speak about Lee Griffiths and these recurring problems that he has with his calf. There is no alternative to Lee Griffiths. Celtic have shown that. They've tried various false number nines, as they call it. None have been successful, really. At the back, the loss of Dedryck Boyata and Derek Tviachenko has left Celtic in a position where, again, they have one recognised central defender, and that's Jozo Simonovic. They could go with the 19-year-old Christopher Ayer against Astana, or my personal choice, and yes, I know, I don't pick the team, Brendan Rodgers does, but my personal choice would be I'd bring in Anthony Ralston at fullback. I think he'd be up to the job. He's a fine young player, lots of potential, and I think he could handle the occasion, and move Michael Lustig beside Jozo Simonovic. Lustig having played for his country many times as a central defender.
And anyone who's looking for any possible sign of Patrick Robertson, where he might be, Hugh, will be disappointed to find that he's away to, yeah, I think it's Barcelona, with Man City, to play in a friendly game this week.
He's been cited more often than Lord Lucan in the last few days. People had him at Ross Hall Hospital this afternoon. No, he's not in Glasgow. There's a massive outbreak of wishful thinking where Patrick Roberts is concerned, and understandably so. Last season for Celtic, he was incredible, but I would not hold my breath for Patrick Roberts being involved against Astana, and that's why Celtic have this massive gamble. And the performance of Nir Beaton at Firhill on Friday night tells me that you cannot go with a guy who is pretending to be a central defender. Play Anthony Ralston at fullback. Transfer Michael Lustig into central defence beside Jozo Simonovic.
So you wouldn't play the experienced Gamboa at fullback and get Lustig in the middle?
I just think that Anthony Ralston,
such a big game like that, Hugh. I know, yeah. I know if kids are good enough, you'd play. I accept that. I mean, I did that myself. But do you not think they're going to be looking for a wee bit more experience? The game is at Celtic Park, you're right. So you would get a lot of help from the fans there as well.
I'm not certain that Christian Gamboa is fit anyway. But I would go with Anthony Ralston.
Definitely have Lustig at centre back, yeah, to be fair, yeah, if you're saying that.
Okay, let's see what Paul in Cumbernauld makes of it all. He's a Celtic fan. Good evening, Paul.
Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks.
My point is tonight, it's maybe the first time I've actually had anything to moan about since Brendan Rodgers took over, and it's the carry on with Stuart Armstrong. Now, Brendan came out the other day there after the Thistle game, says something about the first time he's actually had anything to say about it was that it's up to the board and he's up to them to do a deal. But I think somebody like Armstrong should be getting top dollar at Parkhead, and it's up to maybe the Celtic board to maybe come out and maybe tell us what's going on, you know what I mean?
Well, football clubs tend not to discuss how much they pay individual players. I have no doubt, without knowing the figures involved, I have no doubt that Stuart Armstrong has been made a handsome offer by Celtic, which he has so far chosen not to accept. Brendan Rodgers says he can see it's getting to Stuart Armstrong. He certainly does not look anything like the player he was last season. And it's something that Celtic will need to get tied up. But here we are, the 14th of August, midway through the month. The window closes in 17 days. So it'll have to be done sooner rather than later. But I think Stuart Armstrong would be better advised staying at Celtic. But if he doesn't want the money on offer, okay.
Well, if that was the case, you would sign a contract, because it's only him and his agent.
Yeah.
It's him and his agent sit down and say, look, what we're going to do here. And ultimately, it's Stuart Armstrong that decides. It's nothing to do with the agent. He works for him.
Yeah.
You know, so he tells the agent, you know, exactly what he wants. He's spoken, obviously, to the Celtic board. And he's come back and said, look, they've offered this, this and this, and you've got an X amount of years contract. What do you think? And he's obviously said, no, I want more or whatever. But he's not signed it. And, that's the sad thing. Mark Goody was right at the weekend when he says, if you don't sign him, you know, before the end of the month, then you've got to think that he's going to be going.
Yeah.
Paul, what do you make of it then? Because a lot of people will point a lot of people will point to the performances of Stuart Armstrong, particularly in the second half of last season, and and really enjoyed those, and that's why they want him to stay. But other people might point out the fact that he's only really had a 6 or 7 month spell at the top of his game in Celtic.
Excuse me, that wasn't down to him. That was down to the previous manager.
That's fair enough. Right, that's what I'm saying. So you saw enough in the last part of the season to make him a priority.
Listen, I've seen enough of him when he was a young boy, when he was down playing at Clyde under 16 with Scotland. He was always a prospect. And now he's come into fruition with the manager. And to me, he should be on one of the top wages at Parkhead, along with the other guy, along with Lee Griffiths. He should be given a contract, because I'll guarantee these guys are knowing half as much as some of the players at Parkhead do now.
Well, I couldn't give you that guarantee, because I don't know what each individual earns at Celtic Park, but I would repeat, the offer that Celtic have made to Stuart Armstrong will be
a lot better.
Be handsome, yeah.
Very much so.
A man who goes by the name of iHibs on Twitter says, welcome change to see so much of your programme dedicated to Hibs and their wonderful manager. Long may it continue. I think he's tweeting with his tongue firmly in his cheek there, but good to be in touch with you. Anyway, Charlie is a Rangers fan though, and Charlie wants to have his say on Saturday's game. Charlie, what have you got to say?
How you doing, Gordon? You're doing a great job.
Difficult one tonight, Charlie. A lot of angry people out there.
Well, I'm not too angry to tell you through.
That's what I like to hear.
It's kind of settled down now for Saturday.
What did you make of all?
Thing is, I'm on to respond to Marcus' phone call, because he said that probably thought I wouldn't come back on tonight, you know. I wasn't going to come on, but I spoke to Derek, and when I was speaking to Derek, Derek, remember, he said that we thought Rangers would win 1-0, and I thought Rangers would win 3-0.
That's right.
You know? And when we scored the first goal in the first 50 seconds or something, I said, oh, that's it, we're going to win. I don't know what we're going to win, but, you know, a barrel load, you know. And then after they got an equaliser, it just fell to bits. But Hibs were the best team. Hibs were the best team, and they deserved to win. And when I was sitting watching it, and I couldn't believe it, I felt as if I was watching the exact same team as last year, even though we had 9 different players. It might sound stupid, but that was the way I felt. They were no kind of fight or nothing. Kenny Miller ran about for the first 15 minutes like a headless chicken. Doing his best. Doing everything they could do. A whole lot of them done it, right? And as I say, they were going 100 miles an hour for the first 15 minutes. And then after that, it was downhill. And they're sending off, they should be 2 and sent off right enough. But
Charlie, what? Just before you carry on, what is that noise in the background? It's really intriguing me.
Well, what is? I'm under a tree in the water, sitting after roof.
That is commitment to the cause, Derek. Charlie wants to make his point. He's having to shelter out the rain.
What are you in, special branch?
On a serious note, though, Derek, it makes a bit of a change, because most Rangers fans that have come on, the main thing they've taken away from the game was either the referees' performance or the stuff that's happened with Neil Lennon. But Charlie's a Rangers fan. He's come on here to say, I thought Rangers would win 3-0, but there you have it, Hibs were the better team.
Well, I didn't think that. I said Rangers would win by the odd goal, or either 1-0 or 2-1, because I thought they were good enough, having watched them in midweek. But, you know, at the end of the day, the sending off does change the game. But when it went down to 10 men, there was only one team that looked as if they were going to win it. I didn't see the whole 90 minutes. We were obviously in here. I watched the 5 minutes you got on the television. That was the only bit I seen of the game. And you know, Rangers had 2 or 3 chances in the first couple of minutes. You know, first 10, 15 minutes of the game, Kenny Miller, the one that hit off him, you know, and it just went by the post, and obviously the one that you hit the post with. So, you know, Rangers could have, they're gone a second goal ahead, you would have fancied them, but they didn't. It's all ifs, buts and maybes. The sending off certainly changed the game.
Thanks to Charlie and Airdrie. Charlie, I'm going to let you go and see if you can get out of that rain. I hope you get home safely. That sounds like it's not too bad in Clydebank. Maybe in Airdrie he's caught out a little bit. Thanks to Charlie and Airdrie. Hugh, we've got a tweet in here. He's not happy. Jordy Gaz, he says, I phoned up before the Rosenborg game and suggested playing Aitchison, which was shot down by Hugh, citing he's just a kid. Yet he's now suggesting playing young Ralston, who is also a kid. Bit of hypocrisy.
No,
thought you might say that.
It's an appreciation of the fact that Jack Aitchison is slight and has a way to go yet in terms of his own physicality. Outstanding young player, one for the future for Celtic. But Anthony Ralston, on top of the natural talent that he possesses, look at him. He's a physical specimen. And I do understand that if you reject one teenager and then project another teenager, that somebody might come on with something like that. But just take a look at the two of them. Anthony Ralston is physically ready for this.
We're going to hear from Miles Storey, a man who is involved in the big talking point at Firhill on Friday, and we'll hear from Stephen McManus as he hangs up his boots. That's all coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
We are going to hear from Miles Storey and Stephen McManus very soon, but we better get this full-time teaser up and running to give these two as much time as possible because they need it. And you're also very predictable. When I tell you the number of answers we're looking for here, you two are going to freak.
I think you should give us the question on a Monday and we'll answer it
on the Friday, with the help of Google and all your pals.
Just one a week.
And the library in between. I think that's what you could be doing with, right? Don't be put off when I tell you the number, please.
Okay.
Derek is at. We're looking for 22. However, you can just give me as many as you can, right? Let's see how we get on. The reason there are 22 is because they're very easy, I promise.
Right.
We're looking for the 22 players who are at current non-Old Firm clubs in Scotland but have played a first team game for Celtic or Rangers.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take out for example Stephen McManus, because he retired today, and leave it. That's 21, okay?
Right.
You get that. The gist of it, you get the theme we're on anymore that spring to mind.
So we'll have Dylan McGeoch.
Correct.
We'll have Effie Ambrose. Stokes.
Correct.
Whittaker.
Yep. Any more at the moment?
Broadfoot.
Uh-huh.
We can go through the teams.
Right, we'll give you a few.
Boyd.
That's the last one for the moment. I'll give you some. Yeah. I've actually got a show to get on with here. You two can do that in the background.
Oh, you asked the question.
I certainly did. I don't want too many answers. Let's hear from Miles Storey, because he was, I suppose he was involved in the thick of it, wasn't he? Just signed for Partick Thistle on Thursday, I think, straight into action on Friday night against Celtic. And he says he's going to fight for a regular start at Partick Thistle after struggling at Aberdeen. The striker joined the Firhill club on a 2-year deal. He wasn't really in Derek McInnes' plans, of course. And here's what he had to say now that he is a Partick Thistle player.
A few in Scotland, a few sort of down south. But I always wanted to stay in the league, really. You know, I enjoy the league and the coverage it gets. And after speaking to the manager and knowing about the club from, you know, being an away player and all that kind of thing, I just felt it was the right move. I've had a good pre-season at Aberdeen. Obviously, I didn't play a lot last year, but in pre-season I've sort of played 3 or 4 games from the start and scored some goals and played a left wing a lot of the time, but played well, set goals up, and obviously come on against Hamilton the first game of the season for Aberdeen and scored a goal, which meant a lot to me. Because it had been a while since I'd sort of even come on for more than, you know, 3-4 minutes. It's definitely given me more motivation to get into a team and stay in it, because I know it's horrible, even when you feel like you're doing well enough in training to get into the team, that you're nowhere near it. So I know what it's like to not play, and I don't want to get that feeling again. So I'm going to try my hardest to get in this team.
Now, of course, there was a big moment at Firhill when Miles Storey went down under a challenge by Niamh Beaton. It wasn't given as a penalty, and Storey says that was a real frustration.
I don't really get myself into trouble, but I think you get that against, you know, anyone else, anywhere else on the pitch. But it's a big call to make, 92nd minute against Celtic. But at the end of the day, it's a foul, and, you know, I'm running at pace and I've been clipped, and there's nothing I could have done to stay up.
Hugh, what was your view of that incident on Miles Storey?
At first, I thought he was over elaborate, and the histrionics probably cost him the decision. I've looked at it since then, and I'm changing my mind. But Andrew Dallas had to come to a split second decision. I just thought at first glance that Miles Storey made too much of it. The dive was too theatrical. But having looked at it again, I do think that Niamh Beaton, to underline my point that he's only pretending to be a central defender, was far too slow, dreaming away, and has made contact with him.
Token Jester makes a very good point on Twitter. He says, can't fit 22 player names into a tweet unless they're Korean. But Token, don't worry, we'll just take any suggestions. You can throw them out there. I'm not too sure Hugh and Derek are going to get all 22,
Darren,
but you never know.
Darren O'Dea.
Stranger things have happened. Darren O'Dea.
Well, Gary Mackay-Steven.
That's 15.
Gary Mackay-Steven.
You include Ryan Christie?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Johnny Hayes?
Mm-hmm.
That's 18 we've got. Only 3 again.
No, sorry. Johnny Hayes is the other way around.
Yeah.
So they're now at other teams, but they have played for Celtic or Rangers.
Oh, right.
So yeah, Johnny Hayes is not one. Let's get back to the phone lines. 0141 951 1025. Sean in Prestwick has been hanging on. Sean, what's your point?
How you doing? You okay?
Yes, good. You?
Happy new season, eh?
Same
wonderful
to you.
To be back, yeah.
Can't beat it, Sean.
Nice quiet weekend for everybody.
Ah, it's just the way it is.
Guys, two things. First of all, Celtic, Champions League tie this week, and obviously we're a bit short up front. Hopefully Lee Griffiths will be fit to start the match, whether he can last the 90 minutes or not, it's a different story. But I think we've got to take any win away from home without conceding. So I'd be quite happy to take a 1-0. Obviously, you want to have more than that, but I'd be quite confident taking a 1-0.
As long as you don't lose a goal, Sean.
Yeah, that's what I say, Derek. I think that if we win the home match and don't concede, I think it gives us a great chance. But listen, it's going to be a very, very difficult tie over the two ties, but just hopeful.
Well, you know, it's a programme of personal interpretation. And your opinion, Sean, is 1-0 will be enough. I don't think so. I think to be absolutely confident, I think Celtic need to win 3-0.
Oh yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, obviously you want to have 2 or 3 to go away from home, but you know, if it was only 1, you know, I wouldn't be too disheartened, because I feel we're a better team now than we were, as Brendan Rodgers said, 12 months ago, and we're more equipped to go away from home in Europe.
Sean, you're one of the supporters that goes to all the games. You know, you know the players inside out. What do you do at centre half position on Wednesday night? Do you play beat on?
Personally, I would probably play Chris Soraya at centre half. I know he's a young guy, but he looks pretty confident there. And I would either play him, or if not, then the possibility of moving Lustig in one, playing Ralston. I hate agreeing with you, I feel terrible now, but playing young Ralston.
Does this mean you won't be able to go out now, Sean? You'll have to stay indoors?
Exactly. Who's an absolute tank, the boy Ralston.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point I was trying to make. You know, that Jack Aitchison is for another day for Celtic and will be a Celtic first team player one day, but he's too slight at the moment. But on the other hand, Anthony Ralston looks much older than his years.
You know what? You see, looking further forward, you know, when you're looking at Lee Griffiths, we know he's got this calf injury, but if I'm the manager there, what you do is you play him. It's such a big game. Listen, if he plays for an hour and he gets the goal that you're talking about or whatever, and he's damaged his calf again, they've got plenty of players to play the following week. You know, domestically, they've got enough players to win that.
Yeah.
I would certainly gamble with him, certainly in a game like that.
I think for supporters like Sean, when they arrive at the ground and they hear the team, they're immediately encouraged if Lee Griffiths starts the match.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's a proven striker. He brings so much to the team. You know, we've been playing without a striker, and to be fair, obviously we've still been winning, but you know, just him being in the park, sharpness, he just lights up the park. He's so quick and active, and he works defenders really, really well. Guys, at the second point, as I said earlier, do you not just think all this nonsense from Saturday at Ibrox really just sort of papers over the cracks that we're not very good, and this just sort of...
Well, you know, when you have, let's deal with Rangers and your point on the football, it was a massive disappointment, I am sure, for the Rangers supporters, because after the win over Dunfermline, and they're a championship side, but they're still a full-time football side. They've gone there and they've been beaten 6-0 by Rangers, and optimism was high. And everyone who supported Rangers was looking forward to Saturday's match. And it's been a big anti-climax for them. That's why I think Saturday's important for Rangers. They really have to come back strongly against Hearts at Ibrox. But, you know, Neil Lennon didn't get involved with supporters, and Ryan Jack didn't get sent off, and Anthony Stokes didn't get involved simply to create a diversion. It all kicked off. I've rarely seen a match where so many things kicked off out with a Rangers-Celtic match at Ibrox.
Yeah, but do you not just think, well, I mean, listen to what Pedro Caixinha, I mean, I saw a wee bit of him on Sky, I think it was last weekend, and I just thought to myself, what planet is that guy on? What's actually talking about? And then he comes out after the game, and we saw some clips, and this nonsense about, oh, we're the best club in the world, we've won 54 titles, we are the people, all this nonsense. It's all talk and it's all bluster. And Neil Lennon went there on Saturday and just showed them what it's all about.
Well, you know, managers sometimes think that these things are good for supporters, good for players. Sean Do you remember the night that Neil Lennon became Celtic manager? And he spoke about going out and seeing Celtic Park in the moonlight for the first time. I mean, he spoke about Celtic in a poetic kind of way, and everybody loved it. And when he said he was there to bring back the thunder, they loved him even more. So these things are important to supporters, but you've got to back it up with results in the park. And so far, Pedro Caixinha has a way to go there.
Quite a few people are having a go at this teaser on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Thomas Boyd's even typed out 20 of them. I'm not even going to attempt to read through them all and see if you've got them right. I can see one that you've got wrong. Certainly, Thomas, have a wee look, listen out for the answer. This one, remember, was we were looking for 22. Well, I took it down to 21 players who are still playing in Scotland for non-Old Firm clubs but have played for Celtic or Rangers. Sent in by Martin Burns, Massimo Donati is indeed one of them. Hugh Keevans, well done.
Lafferty.
Kyle Lafferty, yep. Any more at the moment? Shall we move it on?
Move it on.
Okay, Scott and Rutherglen's on the line. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey guys, how's it going? First time calling.
Good to have you on board, Scott.
Well, it's basically, I play rugby myself, but I take a keen interest in football. Now, watching the football from Friday through to Sunday, there's instances all over the place, showing red cards, there shouldn't be red cards, fouls happening, they should be getting booked, the people not getting booked, they should be getting booked. They should not be showing now for video refereeing in place now. As a rugby player watching rugby, it takes seconds in a rugby match to watch a video back. There's so many instances that happened over the weekend that could have been easily fixed instantly with 10 seconds, 15 seconds, watching the video, done, dusted, right, not red card, off, not off, whatever.
Yeah, but football has procedures that must be gone through, and in order for
well,
there to
be
to
fair,
be...
the VAR system—it's underway, isn't it? It's slowly but surely making its way into various.
But that's the point: slowly but surely. So we can't just introduce it next week. We can't just say, "Oh, we've had six red cards this weekend. We've had a horrendous decision here, a horrendous decision there." It doesn't come in next week. Football takes its time. Yeah.
I think eventually it will come. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
It's not just the Scottish League, but if you look at the English League, John Terry's boy for Chelsea's name sent off.
You can guarantee the English League will probably be one of the first that will get it.
Yeah,
but I think eventually eventually everybody will have it. I think you're absolutely right.
The naked eye is no longer enough.
I think 2018 is the end of a 2-year trial period from memory. So
Gordon, it used to be the case that no, when I'm back in the pub after the game, we want to have arguments about what the referee did. That shouldn't have been we've gone by that. I think football's gone on since then. We need to get the right decision from referees, and to do that
fair to television last night, I think television proved conclusively that Ryan Jack was due a red card. Rangers have appealed that, and if they're right and I'm wrong, I'll be back on Friday and I'll tell you. But they also showed that the Motherwell goalkeeper was fractionally outside his box, but enough of a distance outside his box to be sent off. So the naked eye, the referee Craig Thompson got that one right at Perth, and well done to him. But the naked eye is sometimes not enough, and that's why we need to use modern technology.
Thanks to Scott in Rutherglen for his call. Alec is a Rangers fan in Blantyre. He's been looking at that Rangers team. He can see a couple of areas for improvement. Alec, what's on your mind?
Alec, how you doing?
Yes.
All right, panel?
Hey, all good, thanks.
DJ, it's Alec Forsyth.
Good name.
How you doing? That's my man's retired now.
Oh, well, I knew that. You retired about 30 years ago.
just to put my point across for you. Welcome to the first season, the new season. But over the weekend, I hate to talk about referees, it really does disappoint me. One thing I would say, I know you're going about the Neil Lennon thing and what it is, but see, to me, and I'm Rangers through and through, but at the time he says, well, alright, he's going to get pelters, but don't hammer a guy for what he done. Because, as I said to the reception, but Neil Lennon got a standing ovation his last Old Firm game, Ibrox, and it was not patronising. I would say it was respect, because what the club meant to him. And so you've got to think of that. And seeing you're showing that bit of passion, maybe that's going to run through, and I know he's in a different position, being manager. Sometimes you've just got to say, well, do you know what? You've seen it. McCoy celebrating goals. You've done it yourself. Just, I know he's maybe a lot of things out of order, and obviously, I'm not keen on him. But you know that it's passion. If you take that out of the game, then you've got nothing.
Alec, did you also have a point about what kind of players you thought Rangers needed in?
Yep, I was going to ask Derek that. If you can ask Derek.
Yes, you can.
Derek, to be honest, I'm not keen on the goalkeeper and the right back.
You're not keeping them?
Not keen on
them. Oh, you're not keen on them, right. Right. Okay.
I'm not keen on them. I'm not keen on the goalkeeper. I've not liked him for day one, to be honest with you. If you've not got a central right for the start, for your back keeper, centre-half, midfield,
yeah,
up front.
The spine of the team, yeah.
Yep. But I'm not saying, right, Saturday was a disappointment, but I still think, still positives for what I've seen for last season.
Yeah. I still think, Alec, I've said for a long number of months now, I still think Rangers need a target man, a centre forward that's going to get goals. And I said that after they put six past Dunfermline. I think you need somebody like that. A Rangers and a Celtic always need somebody. I mean, Celtic have got a plethora of strikers that can score 20-odd goals a season in their side. Rangers don't. Kenny Miller will always score, but he'll get between 15 and 20. But you need somebody, a big lad in there that's going to get goals for you. And I still think he's got to be looking for that.
Thanks to Alec and Blantyre for his call. We'll round up the full-time teaser shortly and we'll hear from a former Scotland player who's decided to hang up his boots. That's all coming next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here as well. They've been having a go at their full-time teaser, which is 21 players who are playing for other teams out with the Old Firm but have also played for Celtic and Rangers in the past. This is top flight clubs in Scotland. For example, the one I gave them was Stephen McManus, who's now out of the equation because he retired today. You've given me quite a few answers already. You want to add to that list?
Yeah. Scott Allen at Dundee.
Uh-huh.
And Paul McGowan.
Yep.
Richard Forster.
Uh-huh.
Michael O'Halloran.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Burke.
Correct.
Stevie Smith at Kilmarnock.
Yep.
Now, here's my biggie for you.
Okay.
Marcus Fraser.
Now, see, the interesting thing is this was sent in by Martin Burns, who's one of our resident teaser sender inners, if that's such a thing. Mm. And I'm wondering if it's league appearance, because Marcus Fraser's not on this list. He played against Wren for Celtic. That was his only appearance.
Didn't see
that. So I'll give you that one as a wee shuggy bonus.
Yeah.
Is that alright for
a
you?
Fact. No.
So you're still looking for you're still looking for the other ones. All right.
Only two to get.
Yeah, let's see if you can get them. One of the men I just mentioned, let's hear from him, Stephen McManus, because he says that captaining his country was one of his many highlights, as he calls time on his playing career. The former Scotland captain, it was, will now join the youth academy at Motherwell as a coach, and he says he just felt that the time was right.
It's been a decision that I came to over a lot of thought process in the last few months. Obviously, coming back for the groin injury was going to be a big factor. I'd spoke to the manager. The manager's been excellent with me. Steve Robinson's been terrific with me since he first came into the building. So he was up front, he was honest about where he seen me and his plans as a player. But moving forward, what he was hoping would be able to do. So I just felt it was the right time. You know, I've always had that bit of pride where you want to play every single week. I wasn't going to be in the manager's plans for him week in, week out. So that was a big factor for it. And this opportunity, the club have gave me the opportunity to get involved with it. With the first team, but also to assist Stephen Craigan and then obviously lead the under-17s, going out the under-18s next season. So that's a big step for me. That was the right decision to make, and I'm glad I made it. But listen, there's been loads. Obviously, making your debut at Celtic was a massive thing for me growing up there as a supporter. Your first goal, becoming a regular there, captaining the club, representing your country, scoring for your country, captaining your country. There's been a lot of highs. I've been fortunate enough that there's probably more highs than what there has been lows. Again, you only get out of something what you put in. You can never cheat your career. Your career speaks for itself once you sit back. But I'm looking forward to the next chapter in my life. You know, it's something like that. I've been involved now in the coaching side of it for the last 4 or 5 years, which is great. So, and I'm looking forward to it.
So Hugh Keevan, Stephen McManus hangs up his boots. I know that Celtic fans will have plenty of memories of him, Motherwell fans as well. More recently, the one that sort of sticks out for me was it the 97th minute, the winner against Liechtenstein for Scotland. I think that turned out to be Craig Levein's last game, I think.
No,
didn't it?
I'd certainly given up all hope that night.
Or did it? No, in fact, I don't think it was. But
until Big Mick popped up with his header, first class person, Steve McManus.
Good pro.
Yeah, had a he's had an illustrious career. He can go with his head held high and he'll be passing on good information to the young men at Fir Park.
Yeah, Derek, I know that obviously Keith Lasley's the assistant manager at Fir Park. Stevie Hamill and Steve McManus have already been working in the youth teams. Are you a fan of that system, passing on that experience from guys who've done it at the club and at a decent level as well?
Yeah, more so in the likes of Holland and Spain and in Germany. They're getting a lot of the top class players that they had when they're older. They're getting them in to take the youths. Nothing better if you're somebody at Bayern Munich, you know, and the youngsters come in and their hero is there, you know, coaching them. I think, and they know what the club's all about. They know the type of players that they need for that club. I think it's a wonderful idea to do that.
Thomas is in Easterhouse. He's a Rangers fan. Thomas, what have you got to say?
Hi, all right, panel. I just have a point about the old Neil Lennon thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Rangers fan. That name closure just behind the away dugout. And the minute Neil Lennon walked out Saturday, they got absolutely nothing but we sang a song a couple of minutes at the game. Obviously, I can't say it now, but it wasn't as very nice. And the minute I'd scored, all he'd done was a bit back. Now, the fact that Rangers fans are making statements to the public was embarrassing. The biggest point to me was on Saturday was how we're seeing fell apart the minute behind the football centre.
Right, Thomas, I'm going to tell you that the line's not great. It's breaking up. So for those at home who can't hear it, I think I can paraphrase. The first point from Thomas was that he was a Rangers fan. He was sitting at the game. He said that Neil Lennon got absolute dog's abuse. There was a song sung that wasn't too nice, and all Neil Lennon did was give a bit back. Thomas then said that his biggest concern was the way the team fell apart thereafter.
And I'll say this, at the start of the programme I said that this was a colour-coded argument, that there'd be no objectivity, and if you were in the blue corner you would just be against Neil Lennon. But the very first caller wasn't, and the very last caller hasn't been either. So I applaud those Rangers supporters who can see through it all and say, look, what he did, is that the stuff of police intervention? No, it's not. But the SFA may yet take a dim view of one gesture that Neil Lennon made, but at least some Rangers supporters have come on and said the abuse he took was something else, and he's responded when his team scored a goal.
I feel like as the show's gone on, we've gotten a bit more of an air of peace about it all. People are coming on, they're a bit calmer. David in the West End is also a Rangers fan, and he's delighted that Hibs are back, Hugh Keevans, because he says it was a great game on Saturday. David, tell us what's on your mind.
Yeah, hi there, and welcome back to you guys. Good to have the show back.
Yes, it is indeed.
Yeah, 2 points I can make quickly. One, the Neil Lennon saga. Like, I'm a Rangers fan. It's been 5 years in the doldrums. I feel that for the first time in a long time, we've got a bit of hope. Yes, we're not hitting the ground running at the moment, but it's fine margins. If those chances have been in, both against Motherwell and against Hibs, it could be a different outcome. So I'm just delighted that we'll get hope again. Neil Lennon, yeah, I would love him in my team. I don't like being against him. But Neil Lennon, what makes Neil Lennon great is his passion, his dedication, and like at Olympic, he's good at what he does. And if you're standing behind a wall of abuse, and what you've been working on all last season comes to fruition, you're going to show emotion, aren't you? You're going to be delighted. So I think we've just got to go over it and think, be grateful that we've now got a Scottish league that we can all get excited about again.
David, that's a great call, great sentiment. It's not all about Neil Lennon and the past. It's about Neil Lennon, what he was deserving of and what he was not deserving of at Ibrox on Saturday. It was about a football match that went his way, as well as a match that Rangers might have got more out of, as you said, fine margins. You're absolutely right, all the way down the line.
I think what has to happen to you and what people are missing, you're right, the performance. I would like to think he's working doubly hard on the training ground, Pedro Caixinha, because they have to get that right. I said on Friday and Saturday I was very optimistic, having watched Rangers, you know, in a couple of friendly games this season, and they do play some good stuff, and it surprised me when the Rangers fans are coming on to say they didn't really play well at all and they gave in. You know, that's the one thing that club's never done, is given in. You know, with the down to 10 men, they would fight their way back. back. There wasn't an awful lot of that. So there's a lot of work to be done off the park for Rangers, but I'm still optimistic they can have a good season.
Thanks to David in the West End. He's a Rangers fan. I want to quickly bring you some other news headlines from today. It's been a crazy, hectic show. New contract for Jim Duffy at Morton. He's extended his stay to 2019.
What a great weekend it was for Jim. 4-1 winners over St Mirren. What a job he's done at Capello. Thoroughly deserved extension.
Good and bad for me, because you know I think he's good enough to go and take a bigger club, and that's no disrespect to Morton. I think he'd taken Motherwell as far as it can go last season.
Morton, yeah.
Morton, he's away there again, and he signed a contract. Good to him, because he's got that security. But if he continues the way he's been going at Morton, then there's no doubt in my mind that somebody will come in for him.
Just a reminder about those red card appeals. So Ryan Jackett, the Rangers are going to appeal his. Hearts are going to appeal the one to Isma Goncalves. And as for Motherwell, they're throwing in two. They're going for Charles Dunn and Trevor Carson, the goalkeeper. So two appeals from Motherwell and two elsewhere.
Well, I will say the Goncalves one certainly wasn't a red card for me. He was the one.
His ponytail pulled.
He was dragged down and his hair pulled in. He did very little as far as I could see.
Right, it's now that time of the night where we try and round up this full-time teaser for you. What have we got? I think by my estimation, you've got three to go.
No.
I think we've got two
decide.
To go.
I'll decide.
Okay, Stephen McManus.
Yep.
Chris Boyd.
Mm-hmm.
Kip Broadfoot.
Yep.
Anthony Stokes.
Yep.
McGeoch, Whittaker, Gary McKay, Stephen, Christie, Marcus Fraser, Cammy Bell.
Mm-hmm. Good one.
O'Dea.
Yep.
Donati.
Mm-hmm.
Lafferty.
Yep.
Allen. McGowan, Effie Ambrose, Richard Foster, O'Halloran, Burke, and Stevie Smith.
Well, I've got three left in the list that are now playing with other Premiership teams out with the Old Firm, but have played for Rangers or Celtic. Three more. I can tell you that one of them played against Rangers on Saturday.
Well, we said Whittaker, didn't we?
You did.
Darren McGregor.
Darren McGregor. Another one scored for his team on Saturday. They were involved in a game which had multiple orderings off.
We gave you Michael O'Halloran.
You did, but he's one of his teammates who also scored for Michael O'Halloran's team.
Stephen McLean.
Correct. And the last one. Interesting one, this. He was heavily involved again on Saturday. One is... I should give it away. He won his team a penalty, I think. Former, he's a winger.
Give us an initial.
Oh, wasn't David Templeton, was it? Hamilton.
David Templeton, there we are.
We've done it again, Hugh. Well done.
We've done it again. Well, I think that's the first time you two have had the teaser right in quite some time. But listen, fair play to you.
Names.
22 answers, and you absolutely managed it. Congratulations to you. Well, as we expected, that was a busy night on the phone lines. Thanks to everyone who phoned in, thanks to everyone who got in touch on Twitter, and thanks to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson for joining me, Gordon Duncan. Callum Gallagher is up next, and you'll want to stay tuned to that. He's giving away £500 with new movie The Hitman's Bodyguard, so don't go anywhere. I'll be back tomorrow night with Gordon DL and Roger Hanna, but for the meantime, it's good night from us.
Night-night.